What's going on, everybody? This is Moulton's Mind and Body. I am your host, Jeff Moulton. I'd like to welcome you back to the podcast. And if you're new, I appreciate you for tuning in. So tonight, we're going to be going Q&A. So I haven't done one of these in a little while. And basically what I've did is over the last day or so, we've posted a Q&A online and the questions that I've got in between Instagram and Facebook and a few that I've got in person, I'm going to be answering on tonight's podcast. So we got about 8 to 10 questions. We'll see how long it takes and we'll go through as many as we can. But before we get started with that, I'd like to talk about something I did last podcast, and that is the sponsor for this video, and that is Coffee Smart. So if you're watching, we got Coffee Smart right here. And what that is a 5-factor enhancing coffee supplement. So what you're doing is a powder. They come in little packets. You're going to be putting them into your black coffee. And what that does is it's going to give you energy, joint revitalization, vitamins, minerals, and natural anti-inflammatories, and electrolytes. So basically what you're doing is getting something put into your coffee every morning instead of that artificial sweetener and something that isn't necessarily that great for you. You're going to be putting in something that is going to enhance the coffee and basically help you get your day started. If you're looking for that quick pick-me-up, it's something that you can take during the day. Basically rounds out to $1 or more, a little more per serving, and something that I've done every morning for the last about 60 days or so. So just check that out if you're interested. You can use MMB for 10% off. You can go to Coffee Smart and check them out, okay? So now let's get started into the Q&A. So the first question we're gonna go into is, what was the hardest part of competing in bodybuilding? So a lot of people talk to me about bodybuilding almost on a daily basis because that's something that I've done. I competed with a few years back. It was something that I've been passionate about and something that I have loved for about, I don't know, even 7 or 8 years now. And I've done 2 shows and it's been something I most likely would like to do again potentially down the road. But the hardest part for me was honestly the prep in whole. I wouldn't say there's one thing, right? Prep as a whole is, if you've never done a bodybuilding show and done it correctly, it is exhausting. So the hardest part for me, if I had to pick, would be the exhaustion, the fatigue, the lack of energy that you're gonna get when you get into these deep preps. So preps that I've done was a 16-week and a 20-week prep. The 20-week prep, I got a little bit leaner, but the downside is to it, when you're getting leaner, it hits you hard. So I'm talking 5% body fat. If you haven't checked it out, I posted a picture earlier on Facebook and Instagram. And the picture of me is showing me about a week out. And that's what a true 5% is. And that's the hardest part. It's not for me the restriction of food. It's not for me the cardio, the lifting, whatever you're doing in the training aspect. When I'm locked in, I'm locked in. But it's how you feel in the overall process of how you're feeling into this prep. You're doing a 20-week show and you're dieting and trying to drop 1 to 2 pounds a week over that 20 weeks, sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more, depending what you're trying to do. The longer you can do a prep, the more successful you're gonna be in your prep because you can lose more body fat at a slower pace, which can retain more muscle mass. Okay, when you are dieting as a whole, you want to lose as much body weight in the slowest time possible to retain the amount of muscle mass, okay? As a whole, that's what you want to do. So the hardest part for me, definitely just the overall feeling and the draining exhaustion and how beat up you feel by the end of a prep. And I think that's the hardest part for me. Once I'm locked in into a prep, you know, making the foods, eating the certain foods, tracking my food I do daily, the workouts. Again, the exhaustion is what takes everything out of you. So that's by far the hardest part for me. So next question I'm going to go right into is kind of related to the first one. It's am I going to be competing again? So related to the first one, am I going to be competing again? It's a flip of the coin. I would say the majority of me says most likely not. But my gut and competitive side of me would love to do one more. And maybe I'm 28 now, be 29 in August. I'd like to do maybe one more show, realistically, maybe by 30, maybe on my around my 30th birthday time. It's weird to even say that, honestly. But I think right now I have so many injuries, so many things going on. My body's beat up, a lot of wear and tear over the years, and really injuries that I've had and built dysfunction on them, a lot of muscle and dysfunction from those. And I think right now I need to prioritize getting out of pain, getting mobility a little bit better. I can continue to build muscle at this point, but I have to be smart about how I'm going about it and strategically not really beat myself up to the point where I'm going backwards. So bodybuilding, you know, you're doing a lot of training, a lot of volume. That's the key with bodybuilding. Building muscle is the volume that you're doing. So I think in order for me to even have a shot at competing again, because the amount of muscle mass and strength I've lost over last couple of years, especially the last couple of years, more so the year, has been really dramatic. And it would take some time, and I have to be all in to do this. Like we just talked about, to do a prep, you have to be so all in to do it correctly, or it's a waste of your time and you shouldn't even go about it. And you remember, if you're doing it to achieve a certain physique for more than a reason, if there's anything more than you just want to bring the best out of you, and you know, the competition's great, you know, and you want to win and do well, but you have to understand you're going to feel like absolute garbage when it comes down to this prep at the end. You're not going to feel good. You're just basically going to be hanging in there for dear life at the end. So, I think I'd love to do one more, maybe around that 30-year-old time. But right now, the priority has to be me fixing all these injuries and things that I got going on. Okay. So this is funny. I would assume this one's based off the last couple of questions. And that is, what is my favorite ice cream? And I remember reading this question on Instagram because it was Lou, my boy Lou, always putting a question in, which I appreciate, is asking me kind of, you know, you have a cheat meal, you're a bodybuilder, you know, what would be your cheat meal or cheat ice cream if it was your go-to thing? And if you know me pretty well, there's two things, two sweets that I love. I'm not huge on a lot of sweets. I don't like the cakes or the fudge or the brownies, but what two things I love are donuts and I love ice cream. Okay, glazed donuts, by far number one. Number two, maple frosted. And if I had to pick ice cream, I'm going to be a very simple guy on the first answer. Chocolate and vanilla. I like to mix it up old school style where it gets really soft and it turns into like a smooth texture. And my second favorite ice cream would be coffee ice cream. Now, I love coffee ice cream. I like to pair it with like a vanilla so it's not as potent. And number three, if I had to pick one, would be a black raspberry. By far, those are my top three. If you have any of those in your freezer, I most likely would be taking some of it, okay? Also, rainbow sprinkles or chocolate jimmies are going on those if you have them too. So those are my go-to. If I'm having ice cream, if I'm having a cheat meal, those are them. Again, I don't really believe in cheat meals simply because I fit it into my calories, and if I go over by a little, I just do adjust, and I move on to the next day. So that's my ice cream go-to, guys. So this was a random question I got in the gym today because we were talking about BCAAs and we were talking about how good they were and better flavors and not flavors. So I got the question is, how bad are the raw BCAAs? So what that is, if you don't know what a BCAA is, it's a branched chain amino acid. It's basically they're the building blocks of protein. So what you do, building blocks of muscle, building blocks of protein. So basically you take BCAAs for help with muscle recovery and you know, they can help. They're basically base of leucine, valine, and isoleucine. So if you're interested in helping your recovery a little bit, they are beneficial. But that being said, if you have an adequate amount of protein in with the adequate amount of BCAAs, which come from protein, chicken, beef, yogurt, eggs, all those things, you don't necessarily need BCAAs. So I got asked about the raw version of the Extend BCAAs because they taste horrible, okay? They're the natural version of the Extend BCAAs, the raw version. They're a natural sweetener, but they taste atrocious. So if you're gonna go for BCAAs, which I'm not saying I recommend them necessarily, they can be beneficial. In a prep, I take them. Necessarily, I don't take them now because the expense isn't worth it to me. So the raw BCAAs from Extend, not my fan of. I'd rather go to the normal one with a little bit of an artificial sweetener. They taste a bit better. Okay, so now this one's a cool one that I actually like a lot is how long should someone bulk before reaching a maintenance phase? So if you're in a bulk, the term bulk, if you're not familiar with it, is if you're bulking, you're basically eating as many calories as you can. You're at some type of caloric surplus. So if you're at a caloric surplus, it means you're above your maintenance phase, which is part of the question. So if you're eating 2,500 calories a day and maintaining a current body weight that you have with the exercise that you're doing, that is your maintenance amount of calories to continue to weigh the same. So if you want to increase your muscle mass potentially and also increase your body weight as a total, you want to increase your caloric intake. So when you're in a bulk, you're eating more than the maintenance phase. The reason I don't like the term bulk is because I think when people think bulk is they can eat anything they want. They can eat garbage. They can eat all these calories. Just eat as much as you can, put on weight, get strong, stronger, build muscle, but it's not necessarily like that. It takes time to build muscle. So to go into a massive caloric surplus, I don't think it makes much sense. A 250 calorie to 500 calorie surplus is all you need. And at most, I don't want you gaining much more than a half a pound to a pound a week. Because if you're going much more than that, you're definitely going to be putting on a severe amount of body fat, and you're also building a limited amount of muscle at the time. So you don't need a lot of extra calories to build muscle. The only benefit of having more body fat or mass to your body is to, if you weigh more, you have more leverage, right? You're going to be able to press a little bit more weight. Your body weight weighs more. So when it comes to leverage, you're going to be able to move a little bit more weight, potentially get a little stronger, build more muscle. But what's going to happen is if you're getting that strong and building more muscle at a, say, 1,000, 1,500 calorie surplus, you're going to gain body fat, which now you're going to have to eventually lose. You know, if you're doing it to gain muscle mass and you want to lean back out, it's going to take you that much longer to lose the body fat. And if you're not doing it slowly coming off, which most people don't, you're going to lose the muscle mass that you just built because you're dropping weight too fast. Okay, so that's how that works. When in regards to the question is, let's see here, someone bulk reaching, how long should you bulk? Now, what's your goal? That's what I want to ask you. How long, what is your goal? Is it pure strength? Is it you want to lean out and you want to build muscle mass and then lean out for a show? Are you just trying to improve your overall muscle mass? You have to figure out what you want and how much body fat you're willing to put on. So if you want to continue to a bulk for a significant period of time, that's fine, but you're going to put on a lot of body fat doing it. If you're getting to the point where you're putting on a significant amount of body fat that you're getting more fatigued and lethargic and tired and out of shape and you're not moving well, well, that's not good, okay? That's not worth it to me to put on that kind of body fat. I would say, you know, depending where you start with your body fat percentage, somewhere, you know, as low as 15%, I think that's a happy place to live, as in your overall body fat. But if you want to be comfortable, I'd say, you know, 20% body fat. You don't need to much go heavier than that. Going to 25% body fat just to put on muscle mass to me is not worth it. I kind of live somewhere in that 20% range, 15 to 20% range, when I'm in my considered like bulk, if you want to do that. But what that is to an off season for me. So in my off season, if you want to call it that, when I was competing in bodybuilding, you know, I would go up to about 195, which is like between around 20% body fat, maybe a little bit more. And I would cut down, pretty low. I would drop, let's see, in a 20-week prep, I go from like 190 to 193, I think my last show, all the way down to 163. So 30 pounds over 20 weeks. So one and a half pounds per week I was trying to drop. Okay, so I think that's it. It really depends on your goals. If you're trying to be a power lifter and you're trying to be in a certain weight class, you know, you can hang on to weight longer. If you want to have, you know, the best movement and feel good, for me, once I hit that 20%, that was enough for me and I didn't want to push any more. And at that point, you're already at a surplus of calories. Besides eating more than that, you don't really need to build muscle. It's just, you know, if you weigh more, you're going to be able to move a little more, but then you're going to have to lose the weight eventually. So unless you can do that in the best way possible, it's not going to go very well. So 15 to 20%. Live in that range, stay at a slight surplus of 250 to 500 calories. If you want to be more aggressive, you know, maybe 750, but I would not recommend going much higher than that because you're going to put more excess body fat on than necessary. And the time length really just depends on each person and what the end goal is. Is it to compete? Is it to do powerlifting? Is it to just build muscle mass in general? That's going to be really dependent on each person, okay? So another question we got, and we're going to go on the next one, is what type of tunes do you get shredded to? So if you also know me, I'm a hip hop, I'm a rap guy, I'm an upbeat guy. I don't listen to a ton of lyrics. I like beats. I like, let's see, Eminem. People hate on me, but I love my Eminem. I like some type of hip hop or rap. I like the old 2000s raps where it's like a Lil Jon, Lil Wayne. We got Ying Yang Twins. We got Usher. We got all these guys. So I like the old 2000s hip-hop, rap, hip-hop workout radio, as Bree would say. I like anything like that. I love motivational shit. I like going in and typing in Greg Plitt. If you don't know who he is, type up Greg Plitt. Badass. He ended up dying a few years back. But any type of motivational workout stuff like that. I listen to some, you know, David Goggins out of nowhere. Not music necessarily to pump me up. But to get shredded, I listen to a ton of mindset shit because it fucking sucks. You're so tired all the time. So sometimes it's not even music. Sometimes it's simply just motivational shit to keep me alive because I feel like I'm slowly withering away and dying. So that's just to get real. That's how it's going to feel. So that's what I listen to, and that's what I enjoy. What do we got here? So this is a good question. I like this one. So is intermittent fasting or just fasting in general better than going keto, paleo, or etc.? So I guess this comes down to, what is your goal? You know, are you doing intermittent fasting to lose weight? Are you doing intermittent fasting for a health benefit? Or what is your goal or thought anyway when you're going through this? So it's not necessarily better than going keto or paleo or whatever. If the goal is weight loss, it's all relative. I don't think any of them are better than each other. My opinion is basically to eat a well-balanced diet of carbohydrates, fats, and proteins, track your caloric intake, and if your goal is to lose weight, find that maintenance, which we just talked about earlier, which is how many calories you're burning on a daily basis. You can do that by tracking your food. If you weigh the same over a week or two span, tracking your food, average those calories, that'll give you a good idea what your weight is and also how many calories that's keeping you, at that weight. Now, intermittent fasting, basically the template is 18 to 6 is the normal one that most people are doing. So you're eating for 8 hours, fasting for 16 hours. So you have an 8-hour window to eat. The thing is, by having an 8-hour window to eat, the odds of you significantly overeating drastically go down, where if you're eating, you know, the entire day, you can eat more calories. So by fasting till noon and eating till 8, the odds of you overeating that period of time are lower. So for some people, that helps them lose body fat. Now, the goal is you still need to know how many calories you're eating. If you're just eating in that window blindly, you can easily overeat or drastically undereat. That's my problem with fasting, is I see people drastically undereat and then they lose a lot of body fat and then feel like shit and they crush their metabolism and it goes downhill pretty quickly. So I still say track your food so you have an idea of portion control and how much you're actually eating. You don't have to long-term do it, but it creates awareness, which is, I think, is very important for most people that are trying to lose weight or gain weight. So if you're fasting, it does give you a window to eat. So you can take it with a grain of salt. It will help you because you don't have as much time to eat. But at the same time, it's not, the weight loss isn't happening because of the time you're eating or when you're eating. It has to do with how many calories you're eating, and that gives you a smaller window to do it. Same thing with fasting. If you think about how many calories you eat in a weekly basis, not a daily. So if you ate 2,000 calories a day for 7 days, that's a week. That's 14,000 calories in the week. If you want to fast for 1 day a week or 2 days a week, as long as you're consuming the same amount of calories in that weekly span, you're going to maintain a similar, the same body weight at the end of the week. The only time that will be a little off is if you've eaten it a significant amount of calories in 1 day, which causes you to retain more water with the sodium, a little bit of inflammation, if I could speak English, which is going to hold on to water weight. So you're going to have a false reading for that day anyway. Okay. So when your body actually gets to stabilize, you'll be at the right weight. So people overthink this. It's total caloric intake on a day-to-day basis. If you know you're going out for a weekend of craziness, adjust the calories as needed for that night. You know, maybe you're having a few drinks and going out to a big dinner. Adjust the calories that day or that week so you don't continue to eat well all week, say 2,000 calories, and then you binge eat 5,000 in 1 day and you null and void all the work you did all week, okay? So that's my piece of advice. Depending on your goal, there's not a better option. Same thing with ketogenic, paleo. If you're regulating your calorie intake, it doesn't matter what they're doing. So, okay, that's the big thing. It does not matter. So it's just a preference. I think a well-balanced carbohydrate, fat, protein diet is the way to go, and just track your food. It makes it very simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Okay, so let's go. We have two questions left. What supplement should I take is the next one, all right? So when it comes to supplements, I used to use a lot of different supplements. I used to use protein, I used to use creatine, amino acids, I took a multivitamin, fish oils, I took leucine, I took different amino acids, and then I would take a bunch of different pre-workout mixtures. So I'd take pre-workout, all these different things. Now, I've cut back on a lot. I spend a lot less money. I don't think they're necessarily necessary anymore. I think I got caught up in the trends, which really, for me, was kind of, I think psychologically, I think I needed them more than I did. So right now, what my current supplements are is I take a protein powder, which actually is pretty rare. I'll have one here and there, maybe 3-4 times a week if I want one, but I don't have it that often, maybe one scoop a couple times a week. Lately, I've been getting enough protein intake from just meats. I eat a ton of, a ton of eggs, a ton of bacon. I won't say a ton, but a couple slices a day. I have ground beef, 85-15, because it has more fat, and that's what I want right now. And what else do I got? I eat chicken. I have Greek yogurt a little bit, peanut butter, different things. I have, you know, I keep it very simple. I'm a very repetitive eater, and I have milk. I drink a lot of milk right now, organic milk. So that's kind of my protein sources. But when it comes to supplements in general, protein powder, I take creatine, which helps with the explosiveness in the muscle fiber. It basically draws water into the muscle. It helps getting you maybe a little extra rep here and there. So if you're going to pick up a weight, if you can get an extra rep or two, that'll eventually lead to getting a little bit stronger. So creatine, you take in 3 to 5 grams, it absorbs into the muscle. And basically, you know, to continue to take 3 to 5 grams a day, and it will help you get, scientifically, it shows to get you a little bit stronger, but you still have to work hard. You have to still train hard. So you can't rely on the supplement. Okay. But creatine, I don't take necessarily a multivitamin anymore. I was taking a probiotic. I'm not doing that anymore. Fish oils, I always recommend taking. I'm not currently doing that. I take a lot of chia seeds, and I take a lot of things that have a lot of omega-3s in them. Definitely recommend doing that. Something I haven't done as much. I do not recommend pre-workouts. Drink a black cup of coffee, suck it up, just do it. Simple as that. You don't need hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of milligrams of caffeine. It's more of a psychological thing that makes you feel cool. But yeah, it does work. It does get you revved up, but then you get a tolerance to it, and you need more and you need more. And I don't think that's necessary. I don't need you to jack your heart rate up for no reason all the time. I need you to do it naturally and focus on that. Okay, get a cup of coffee, let it hit you naturally. Focus on your workouts, get your good sleep, hydrate, and you'll be good to go for your workouts. So really, it's, you know, creatine I just started taking again, protein powder, and basically that's about it right now. I'm not taking much. So I used to take amino acids. I don't do that anymore. And that's all I'd recommend. If you want my perfect mixture, if you're not getting a well-balanced diet, you need a multivitamin, you need protein powder, if you're not getting enough food, and creatine if you're working out because it's highly necessary, and a fish oil. Simple as that. Okay, last question. I'm going to try to sum this up pretty quick. What are macros? Macros are carbs, fats, and proteins. So you have carbs, fats, and proteins. That's what make up your macronutrients. If you don't know, carbohydrates have 4, protein have 4, and fat has 9 calories per gram. So if you ate something with 10 carbs, it's 40 calories. 10 protein, 40 calories. 10 grams of fat, 90 calories. So fats are a little more dense. So just be careful when you're trying to eat. Say 2 tablespoons of peanut butter is 190 calories. People eat way more than 2 tablespoons in a sitting, so it gets really dangerous when it comes to overeating food, you know? So just know that. So if you add up your carbs, fats, and proteins, it gives you your caloric intake. So you have your macros. If you add your macros together, it gives you a total caloric intake. So when someone says they're tracking their macros, basically they know how many calories they're eating, and then basically they break down the calorie intake into their macronutrients, which it asks how much protein, fat, and carbs you should eat. That will depend on each person and their goals. So right now, for example, I'm tracking my protein intake. I like to eat about 1 to 1.1 grams per pound of protein. You can go up to about 1.2, 1.3 grams per pound of protein. That's more if you're in a caloric deficit. So if you're trying to lose weight because you're trying to hang on to muscle mass as you diet, when you're at a caloric surplus, you do not need as much protein. So you can eat maybe 0.8, 0.7 grams per pound because you're at a caloric surplus. Okay. So if you take your protein intake and you add that up with your carbs and fat, it'll give you your total caloric intake. So it's just a math problem. I can break that down in another video, but I'll make it really simple for now. What I'm doing is I'm having, say it's 200 grams of protein, that's 800 calories, 200 times 4, because 4 calories per gram, 800 calories. I'm doing about 400 carbohydrates, which is varying a little bit day to day, which gives me 4 times 4, 1600. If you add those together, I have 2400 calories, and my goal is around 3500 right now, so I would need another 1100 calories in fat, so 9 times 10 is 900, or 90 times 10 is 900. So basically I'm going to just add up the exact amount of fat that I need. I can't do math right now, but 200, 400, and the amount of fat I need, which is around, you know, a little over 100 grams to get me there, about 110, I would say. So you add those up, you get your calorie intake. So that's what your macros are, fats, carbs, and proteins. You add them up to get your caloric intake. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed this video. I enjoy doing these Q&As. For me, the Q&As are fun because it gives me to interact and not just talk about necessarily some things that I like, but it gives me questions from you to get what's on your mind, even if they're goofy, fun questions. I like going on rants and talking about different things, as you might know. So yeah, continue to ask me questions. I'll be documenting them throughout the week, put them in my notes section so I can answer them. And maybe we'll do one a week of these. I've been doing it initially once a week. Now it's kind of been every few weeks. So continue the questions and I'll continue the Q&A and let me know if you like this. All right. So again, I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. I'll be talking to you soon. Again, if you didn't know, I was supposed to have a guest on last week. He did have to cancel, so we're going to schedule him in a few weeks. But I have an awesome potential two guests coming on for this week coming up. They are beasts. So I hope I get to interview them and get you guys to know them a little bit better and talk about them. So till then, guys, enjoy the rest of your night, and I'll talk to you soon.